Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We are recording live at the New York State High School Football Coaches Association Clinic, and joining me on the podcast is the head football coach at Wagner, Tom Musella. Coach, it's great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me and spending some time.
Well, Coach, 2 months now at Wagner. For you, it's really coming back home. You've been there before, been an important part of your life. You know, what is it for you right now? How does it feel?
Well, it's back. You know, it's like most jobs. The only difference is I grew up in Staten Island and played at Wagner and coached there a couple different times, and now it's just coming back, and they're seeing a lot of old friends and people at Wagner and in the community, and really now it's trying to get back to the winning ways that Wagner has been used to in the past.
And Coach, the journey has brought you full circle back here to Wagner, but you've had a lot of great stops along the way as you've progressed through your career. You know, what have been the most important lessons that really, you know, if we look at how you coach, have really become part of who you are?
Yeah, I think, you know, each place that I've been, I've probably taken a piece or two from the people I've worked for and with. And, you know, I still think it's all about the players. One is getting an education, but two is being a great, great person. And then the third, if you take care and put things in order and prioritize certain things, you'll be successful on the field. So I want good people that want to achieve great things. And, you know, that's pretty much the standard that we want out of our athletes and the coaches that we have in the program.
Coach, when I asked you, you know, what is it really about for you? And, you know, the word you used is teaching and understanding, and that you pointed out this is a player's game.
It certainly is. And I think if we can get our players to do things that are difficult at times and have fun doing it and give them reasons why, we have a chance of getting them to achieve the things that we want to achieve, not only on the football field but off the field. You know, it's an everyday process, you know, of talking to our kids about doing the right things as far as eating the right way or going to class or treating people the right way, and then, you know, taking that one step further to the field and giving them reasons and coaching them up on how to do things and improve every day. So if we do that, you know, if we got a little bit better every day and everyone in our program got a little bit better every day, in the end I think we'll achieve everything that we want as a program, but more importantly what our athletes want, you know, as they move on through their college experience.
Coach, when you look at the teaching side of this game, certainly the technology we use to teach has changed a ton over time. I'm sure you
it
back
in
the day when cut-ups were actually cut-ups,
yep,
right? And,
yep,
you know, now it's all digital. But those things might change. At the core of it, though, is good teaching. And now, you know, where you're at in your career, I'm sure you have the opportunity to coach your coaches up on exactly how you do those things.
Well,
what things are important to you as a
teacher? You know, I think one of the first things I did, because most of the staff is still in place, is how we're going to go about things, and it starts in the classroom. You know, things that I think young coaches should understand when they go into the classroom. We all talk about it's the mental side of the game that's important, so we better understand how we have to make that efficient and our kids get something out of it every time we sit in a meeting or go through a walkthrough, that we're prepared as coaches and that we can give our kids the best opportunity to then, you know, run with the ball. And certainly it's been a process. We have a lot of young coaches. We'll always have a lot of young coaches at Wagner. So part of my job is to coach the coaches and get them to understand there's a process to being successful and for them to be successful and for them eventually to move on and carry that process along that will help them. So, yeah.
With, as you look at things and thinking about, like, let's just talk through a classroom session, right? And there's a lot of different ways to teach, right? It's got to fit the coach's
sure.
personality. But when, you know, you're working with those young guys and tell them, you know, these are the important things that you do in this classroom, and more importantly, that the players get out of it, what things are you emphasizing?
Yeah, I think one is, you know, bring a notebook and a pen. That's first. You know, put your feet, plant your feet firmly on the ground and try to absorb as much. And not everybody learns it in the same environment. So we have to vary those classrooms. Sometimes it's in the classroom. Sometimes it's a walkthrough on the field. Sometimes it's one-on-one just going over film. And I always tell our players that, you know, we want to criticize effort. We want to correct mistakes. And sometimes, you know, kids, young athletes don't understand the difference between the two. And that's something important to our coaches. We want to criticize when they're not giving their best effort, whether it's in the classroom or on the field. But we also want to make sure we correct the mistakes and help them understand that if they make a mistake and we correct it and square it away, that they can move forward on to the next task. So you know, that's how we try to go about it.
You know, Coach, that aspect of it, the criticize seems to be something really easy when you're a young coach. Like, you're more comfortable doing it. Sometimes maybe too focused on that part of it. How do you coach a young guy up on making sure, like, the performance part isn't just the criticize, that it's the correction, and that
ultimately we want our players to do things a certain way and go all out and play fast. And it goes back, they can only play fast if they know what they're doing. So, you know, it is the teaching aspect of it that allows players to play fast. And correcting those honest mistakes that are made on the field. And again, that you know, we're striving to be the very best we can be and you know, be 100% if it was a test, you know. But we never get there. You never get to where everything's perfect. But that's what we're striving for. And then the other aspect is you can only get to that level is if you're giving your very best effort.
Mm-hmm.
And that may mean, you know, going to that classroom setting with a positive attitude, even though right now I'm a number two on the depth chart, and not, you know, kind of daydreaming and drifting in and out of meetings, is getting kids to understand that every time they're doing something football related, they want to give their best effort and come in with the right attitude. And that's for coaches too. Sometimes we can beat up our players, you know, especially young players. And that's where, you know, you walk in a fine line where you might have to back off a kid and really give a kid a hug instead of a kick in the rear end. And you know, that's, I think any great coach or any great teacher or any great leader understand sometimes, you know, just criticizing is not the way to go. Sometimes you got to give positive feedback that, hey, this is great. Look at what you did here. Look what you achieved here. You know, and I think players respond to that in a better way than is if you're always saying, I don't like what you did here. I don't like what you did there. But, you know, that's a fine line. And I think the more positive we can be with the way that our players are going about it, better off we're going to be in the long run.
And I think you'd agree a big part of that and how that's going to go and how that's going to be received is really what's been built in the relationship as well.
No question. I think you can always get on a player if he feels you care about him. If he doesn't feel you give a darn about him, it's hard. It's hard for that player to respond and take corrective criticism. You know, it just beats him up a little bit. So, you know, I truly believe we're there to serve our players, and you know that's the best way to do it is to keep reinforcing positive actions as opposed to negative actions.
Coach, kind of moving along this idea of teaching, as the two-a-day has disappeared.
Yeah.
Right. The
good
walkthrough.
Thing.
It is.
It's
yeah. Because I coaching at the college level, and I don't think I recognized it till I coached at the college level.
Yeah.
We were so intensive on our evaluation that when I had a quick turnaround and maybe couldn't get as deep, I hated that second session. Right.
Well, I just think, I mean, you know, when I first got into coaching, it was two practices a day, two meetings a day, and you went 14, 16 straight days.
Mm-hmm.
14 straight days, and then you got a day off. Well, really, when you think about it, that's just counterproductive.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and I learned a long time ago at Louisiana Tech, and we went two-a-days. But we went in the morning, and we went at night. And the night practice down there was always in helmets. And down there, the kids learned better by walkthroughs. So we didn't do very many classroom meetings. It was more walkthroughs, installing on the field instead of a meeting. So again, different places kids learn differently. And that's you know, the coaches, the head coach's job, but also the assistant coaches to understand that some kids learn at a different pace and a different style. And in this day and age, you have all the tools and resources to make sure that you can reach everybody. Yeah, two-a-days, thank God they're over. Because it wasn't really productive at the end of the day. Now you can even take a kid who maybe hasn't had a great summer and get him in shape.
Right.
You got 29 days to do that, you know. So I think there's a lot of great things. Now it's made the season longer, but I think for everybody involved, it's a much healthier environment.
Well, and I think a lot of us thought those things and realized those things, but you got caught up on, well, if I don't do this, my opponent's still doing it. So
yeah, as you get older, you really don't care what your opponents are doing as much as what you're doing and how your kids are performing. So, yeah, but I learned that at Louisiana Tech from Jack Bicknell. I mean, he was always it was always keep the players fresh, keep the players healthy. And this is back in 1999, 2000, when there were still two-a-days. We really weren't doing two-a-days back then.
Yeah. Well, the walkthrough is such an important part of that. And, literally you are going through the motions, but that's not what you want as far as a focus. And I've seen walkthroughs done really well, and I've seen them executed poorly, like anything, right? To you, what's the key? What are the things you really want to see out of the coaches, out of the players, out of the guys maybe who aren't in a particular
fast mind, slow feet.
Yeah.
Be on top of everything mentally, but we're just slowing down the movements. You know, you can get a lot done by walking through in fast minds, and it's a jog through or a walk, however you want it. But I always tell the guys, fast mind, slow feet. We want to get this right, and we want you to understand why we're getting it right, and everybody be. So a lot of our walkthroughs are 2-3 steps. But be in your stance. Take your first step, and then let's slow it down from there and fit it up the way we want to fit.
Proper footwork.
Yeah, all that. So that's how I look at walkthroughs.
And then practice, certainly an important part of it. There's a lot of different ways to do that for you. What are the keys to a good practice?
I think, one is one, we want to keep our players healthy. We don't want to put our players in positions where they can, that we can control the environment. So, you can't hit as much as you used to hit. And we got to keep kids off the ground. We want to put them in a position where we're playing as fast as we can, but we're controlling the situation where we're not putting ourselves in a position to risk injury to our players. And that is a fine line. Every once in a while, you got to cut it loose.
Yeah.
But, you got to learn to practice. We have three different tempos that we use, and our kids have got to understand those tempos, and our coaches have got to understand those tempos. So, we talk long and hard about it, what the tempo is in each group setting, team setting, individual setting.
Coach, you got a couple topics here at the New York State Conference. One of those is defending the bunch formation, and the bunch has, I saw it a lot in 2019 at all levels.
Yeah.
Really becoming something that people are using, and the tighter it is, you add some gaps. Certainly, I think you maybe tip the advantage to the defense in allowing a little bit more disguise from them and knowing where the blitz coming. I know on the offensive side of the ball, I just really early in the game, if I was using a bunch formation, wanted to see what's going to be your check, because for a lot of teams not facing it, they'd only put in, you know, one check for it. But you're spending a whole session here, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, talking on defending the bunch. What's the key?
Well, I think that session was more defending 3-by-1 and including bunch into it. I think the key anything to defense is one, understanding what the offense is trying to do. And then two, I'm not a big believer, you know, one check covers everything. I don't want to be one-dimensional in anything we do defensively. So, you know, we teach what adjustments can be made in our zone coverages, and what adjustments can be made within a call in our man coverages, and give our kids the leeway to make adjustments and let them think for themselves to handle bunch sets, whether it's a formation that turns into a run formation or one that they use to attack us in our man coverages. So we want to give our kids a few different tools in the toolbox to handle each type of bunch situation, whether it's zone or man type coverage.
When you face those different things, I mean, teams like to use bunch for certain reasons, and defense always want to take away what's going to hurt you the most and maybe what they do best. As you're approaching, you know, defending a bunch set, what is important to you that, you know, when we see this, this is what we have
well,
to stop?
Yeah, well, the first thing, if they're bunching you up to run the ball, usually it is to create an extra gap or to create leverage.
Right.
And, you know, we want to make sure we put an edge to the defense. Whether it's inside run or outside run, put an edge to the defense where our kids can now rally to the football. And in the pass game, usually bunch, they're trying to run a pick route or create spacing. And, again, we want to make sure that we don't lose leverage and make throws easy for the quarterback, and understand the spacing that they may create out of the bunch. So, you know, we have certain adjustments that we'll do, like I said, in our zone or in our man coverages, depending on the situations. And I'm a big believer you give your players a toolbox, and I can't make that bunch check for them.
Right.
They have to know it and understand what the situation is and make it. And I'm a big believer that the more tools we can give our kids to be successful, the better off, the better success we'll have. And they have to understand why they're making a check. So, you know, we give our kids a whole bunch of things to hang their hat on, and now they can start to say, okay, I see why we're doing it this way, or we want to do it this way. And now it's easier for them to recognize it and make an adjustment.
You know, one of the things we did a trend series throughout the season. You know, not coaching right now. I get to watch a lot of football, and Charlie Coyner, former NFL coach, and I would talk every week on a podcast about different trends. And I know one we talked about, especially early season, quite a bit was bunch formations with wide zone away from the bunch.
Sure.
Right, trying to open up.
Yeah.
Get them to over defend one area to open up a running lane before you even get a little bit of a cutback there. What's the key to, I guess, not overcommitting, and you know, that's exactly what teams are trying to do.
You know, I mean, in run game, it's gap being gap sound.
Yeah.
You know, it's that easy, and people fit their gap. We have an edge to the defense on both sides, and making sure that we set that edge, and now people, you know, also getting off blocks. That's one of the, you know, when gap sound, but now, you know, secure your gap. Now go make a play. And I think on defense, it's the ability to get off blocks that has changed a little bit since I first started. It used to be hold the gap. Now we expect guys to secure their gap and then be able to fall back in and make a play or disengage and go make a play on the outside. So I think in a lot of ways that you know, I think it's important that we're sound, but also kids understanding, okay, just fitting my gap isn't good enough. You know, we got to disengage and get to the football. So, you know, I think playing defense is pretty, when it comes down to it, it's difficult with what offenses are doing, but it seems like the defenses that are real good have certain qualities to them that people disengage from blocks, people get to the football, and when they get there, they're looking for ball disruption to get the ball out somehow, some way. So, you know, those are the things that we preach all the time.
I know you talked a little bit about man techniques here too, and thinking in that regard, a lot of offenses have put the mesh play or some kind of shallow crosser into their playbook. You're watching the pendulum swing back and forth. So, you know, a lot of teams running RPO, more man match. Let's run the mesh and shallow crossers and run away from people. To you, keys to defending some of those.
You're not going to get us always in man free, and you're not going to get us always in zone coverage. And, you know, let's take the mesh play. Our kids have got to know how they're going to defend the mesh play if they're the guys in the mesh. And, you know, we have certain things that we coach up and expect where they don't get picked. Easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it may be we have a low hole player in the man free that's disrupting that rub route or whatever. So again, it goes back, we're not going to play those formations one way or the other. We're going to call our defense and make the adjustments out of it and coach up the finer points of what we expect our kids to do and what creates problems for them when they don't do it a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's a cat and mouse game. Mm-hmm. You know, if you line up and play man free all the time, offensive guys are pretty smart to figure out what to do. And if you play zone all the time, they'll figure that out, what to do. So
I agree.
Defensively, is unless you got the best 11 people on the field, you got to give them different looks and give a slight pause to that quarterback that he always knows where the ball's going with it. So, you know, I think a good, healthy dose of mixing up what you're doing and don't become so predictable, you know, that teams can scheme you up.
With the pick, and teams are getting very creative with how they pick and stay legal with it from
It's not legal, well, but they don't call it.
The one they're finding.
I'm a defensive guy.
the throw that's behind the line of scrimmage and they're downfield blocking.
Yeah,
that's a
tough one. And listen, I'm a believer of this. If the ball's thrown 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, I like that.
Yeah, right.
Now we got to get somebody to set the edge of the defense and now rally to it. And if you're throwing it 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, great. That's a good thing. You can't defend the 30-yard pass over the top of the defense, but you can defend the 5-yard pass behind the line of scrimmage. And now that's the case of setting an edge and getting people there, you know.
Coaching those guys through the mesh, which is intended to pick one of them, what's the coaching point for that guy, when to not get picked? And I guess if he does or they partially obstruct him, how do you recover?
Well, you don't really recover if they execute a throw. I mean, it's usually a big play if you're in man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to make sure we get behind the receiver where he can't be picked. Instead of up on top of the receiver, we might go underneath the receiver, knowing which one's running the above route and which one's running the under route. So there's coaching points that way. You know, sometimes you got to fight through a pick. Sometimes we got to in and out some people. You know, so there's a lot of different things that vary into it. But once you get picked and you're in man coverage, you know, if they executed it, usually it's a big play.
Yeah.
So,
well, we've seen that play out in a lot of games this past season.
Well, I bet.
Coach, you know, getting things going here at Wagner, and I'm sure you want to see this program get to a certain place, and, you know, establishing all those things right now. To you, what is the number one thing that's going to help Wagner find the winning edge?
Well, I think we got to get back to recruiting classes instead of living in the transfer portal. I think we got to start to develop athletes. The vast majority of our recruiting classes have got to be freshmen in high school that are going to develop over 4 or 5 years and sprinkle it in with a couple transfers, you know, each year. But I think we've gotten away from that philosophy a little bit, and it's kind of, you know, reared its ugly head a little bit, and so we got to get back to developing athletes as opposed to taking a finished product from somebody else's program. And that's one, and then getting kids to believe that good things will happen to the people that work hard. And that's what we're trying to instill in our athletes now, that, you know, it's a process. You got to show up every day ready to work. You got to respect the people around the campus and in the weight room and in the training room and your coaches. And if you do that, we'll have a plan in place to have you develop and keep the ball moving, so to speak, for us to have success. And the little things will take care of the big things. So, you know, that's what we're doing now in our winter workouts and in the weight room, is getting our kids to understand there's little things that are important. Just wearing a proper uniform of the day, showing up on time. You know, all those little things that maybe, we've gotten away from, that paying attention to detail, you know, is probably the best way of explaining it.
So. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time. It was great to meet you here, and best of luck to you and Wagner.
Appreciate it. It's great talking. Great talking football in February, I guess.
Thank you for tuning in to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. If you enjoyed the content on our show, please don't hesitate to like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review for our podcast on iTunes. Also, do not forget to check out our systems for skill development, blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. Follow us daily on Twitter for content and interaction at FBDEVCoach, and be sure to check out X's and O's analysis on blogs.usafootball.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Coach K. Grabowski.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.